This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters, in our class on Tazkiyatun Nafs, one of the most important things is to put ourselves in perspective, to think about what in English we call the ego, which is a sense of yourself. Now, the ego is a funny thing because people say we should kill the ego and so on and so forth, right? But you cannot kill the ego for the simple reason that the ego is yourself. The ego is your understanding of yourself. Who am I? What do I stand for? And the ego is comprised of the positive messages that I give myself. Now, it's a bit of a balance because if you say that I will not give myself any positive message, then it is possible that you go into a one of the forms of psychological illness. And I don't want to go into, I'm trying to avoid using jargon and technical terms, so just to help us to understand. So if I genuinely start believing that, let me put it another way, if I deny all the positive things that I know about myself, which may be my experience, my life experience, whatever good stuff I have done, whatever good feedback I got from people, and so on and so forth. Supposing I want to deny all of this, then it can put me into a tailspin and take me to a very dark place, which is not something that one should have or should do. At the same time, if I focus on only the positive things, and I keep giving myself positive messages, and this is unfortunately one of the things that happens in our modern society, especially with how we raise children, which is that we go to the superlative almost from the word go. So a child, for example, does a project and we say, this is absolutely fantastic. Okay, that's good to say that. Maybe the child feels nice and you feel nice saying it. But then what's the next step after that? What is the next step above absolutely fantastic? Now, so that's another negative spin, really, because giving things more importance than is their due creates a fantasy in the mind which needs to be fed constantly, and this makes you a slave of the outside world. You consciously or unconsciously then seek places and people who give you those positive messages, who give you those positive strokes, and thereby you enslave yourself to them, and therefore you become open to manipulation, because anybody can do anything with you as long as they are saying nice things to you, because you are like a hungry crocodile, whatever stuff is put, the stomach never gets filled. Constantly it has to be fed. So these are the two extremes. One is one extreme, which is the ego, which has been bashed up so badly that it really has fallen into a pit. And that's the depth of depression and despair and complete sense of annihilation of a person's self-esteem. And on the other hand, self-esteem, which is taken to into the clouds, where it has no right to be. Now, one very interesting book, which I keep on recommending all the time, and I've read it, and I owe that to my dear friend Tahir Asmal from South Africa, who presented it to me one day. And we were going to Kruger National Park, and his uncle Ibrahim Patel was my dearest friend, and he and I and Tahir, and we were all going, and Tahir gave me this book, and he said, Uncle Yawar, I'm sure you would like to read it. And when I started reading it, I just couldn't put it down. And I remember reading, sitting on a gas, on the side of a gas pump in a gas station, finishing it on the way to Drakensberg and then to Kruger National Park. Now, the point I want to make is this book is called Outliers, and it's by Malcolm Gladwell. Now, one of the things that, or rather the theme in that book, Malcolm Gladwell names a whole bunch of outliers, a whole bunch of exceptional people in the world. And some of the names are very familiar, like Bill Gates, for example, and so on, others. Now, he shows how, and this, Malcolm Gladwell is a statistician par excellence, amazing guy. So he shows how it was a set of circumstances that were available to that individual. Now, of course, you know, in normal parlance, you would call them fortunate circumstances and so on and so forth. We know this is Minallahi Ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who creates those circumstances. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created a set of circumstances. They were not created for Bill Gates, meaning that times in which Bill Gates was born and, you know, he grew up, and the access that he had, thanks to the kind of family he grew up in, thanks to the kind of focus that his parents had on education and so on and so forth, which got him to where it got him. Whereas Malcolm Gladwell also gives examples of people who had, in terms of IQ as one measure, far higher IQ than Bill Gates's, but they didn't get to, you know, anywhere close to where he was. Very interestingly, also Malcolm Gladwell identifies in modern times the year in which circumstances were the most fortunate, and that year is 1955, and that's the year I was born. Now, if Bill Gates is talking about America, I don't know if the same logic applies to India where I was born. But the point being is here, is that in one line, Malcolm Gladwell negates and completely disproves this ridiculous term in the English language, which is self-made man. Self-made man. I've never heard the term self-made woman. Maybe women are too smart to say that about themselves. So self-made man. Complete nonsense, because it is not somebody's effort alone which produces results. As I say, it is true that it is your effort which led you to where you are. But remember that some of that effort, if not a lot of it, was made standing on somebody else's shoulders. So be grateful and be thankful to those people who gave you that leg up. Because if it hadn't been for them, you would not be anywhere close to where you are today. And at least in my life, I know this very, very well. And I'm extremely grateful. And to the extent that I have written books about those people. I've mentioned those people, not books about those people, but I've in the books that I've written, my memoirs of different parts of my life, I have mentioned those people with a lot of honor and a lot of thankfulness. Because I know exactly what kind of contribution those people made to my life. So the point I'm making here is that this issue of ego, therefore the ego is something that we create for ourselves. And as I told you, there is a positive element to that. We need it. We need to feel good about things we have done and so on and so forth. But keep the link of gratefulness and thankfulness alive and strong, because that is part of how you became what you became. If you want to look at just the harsh reality of human existence, it is that when a child is conceived, when the droplet of sperm is ejected, then both the father and the mother make ghusl. They have a bath. So our origin is a unclean drop. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. And that is that's your origin. Your origin, who are you? I am that unclean drop. And it was so unclean that both the parents had to make ghusl, otherwise they did not have tahara. Then, imagine, that after I was born, within a few days, if I had died, who would they say died? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect everyone from this. But we know that many people, their children, die in infancy. So the child is, you know, 2 days old, 3 days old, and died. Who do they say died? They say so-and-so's child died. There is no name, because the child has not been named yet. They say so-and-so's child died. And then, remember, you lived a long life. Great achievements, immense amount of knowledge, wrote books, taught books, whatnot. And then I die. Now after that, when you are dead, now they're making ghusl for the body. For the who? For the body. They put kafan on what? On the body. They pray janaza on what? On the body. If they have to move the body to the place where the janaza salah is being prayed, what do they say? They say, bring the body. Bring the janaza. They don't say, yavar bek ko laiye. They don't say, bring yavar bek. They say, bring the janaza. What do they put in the grave? The body. So what is our reality? Our reality is somebody who, when I was conceived, my parents took a bath. Who, when I was born, I had no name. Until I was named, I had no name. If I had died, I would have died as so-and-so's child, so-and-so's baby. And no matter what I achieved in life, when I die, I am called a body. I lose not only the clothes of my body, my wealth, my whatever material I have, I even lose my name. And then the, within quotes, funny situation is that if you lived a good life and you were, I mean, if you lived a bad life and if you were, you know, some lousy piece of action which people hated, and you drop dead and you die, then obviously you will not be mentioned, because nobody wants to talk about, you know, somebody who was a painful creature. But equally true, if you were a wonderful person and everybody loved you, they still would not mention you, at least in before your near and dear ones, because they don't want that to cause pain to those people. They would say, don't mention him to his wife, to his husband, to her husband, to their children, because, you know, they will cry. So your name gets wiped off from the face of the earth. It is true that if you did something, then, you know, in terms of your actions and so on, some of that remains and so on. That's how we have history. That's how we talk about people. But I'm just saying, average individual, names are forgotten. We had a very graphic experience of this, where somebody asked for the grandmother's name. And you can try this as an experiment. You know, ask in your family, ask people for the name of their grandmother or great-grandmother. Somebody who's passed away, maybe. So you say, what was your great-grandmother's name? I'm saying grandmother because the women's names are usually used less and they tend to disappear faster. For no reason. I mean, they are the equal, if not greater, contributors to the offspring, but it goes. Same thing happens to the grandfathers. But ask for the great-grandmother's name. See how many people know it. Great-grandmother is what? Two generations, right? Great-grandmother, grandmother, and your mother. Great-grandfather, grandfather, your father. So two generations up from you, name is gone. Nobody knows who that was. Let's look at another aspect. This whole pride that we have, I'm so learned, I'm an expert, I'm a physician, I'm a doctor, I'm a chancellor of a university, I'm a, you know, president of the country, whatever you are. I'm great Hafiz Quran, I'm this Mufti, I'm this great religious scholar, right? One little imbalance, I'm not talking about having head injuries and accidents, I'm saying one little imbalance in potassium in your blood. And you start talking gibberish. All your knowledge vanishes, disappears. Just a little imbalance. And that imbalance can happen for a multiple number of reasons. You start talking gibberish. All your knowledge is gone. I've seen it actually. It's a tragic thing to see, but I've seen it. May Allah help us to learn lessons from what we see. So my point is, the thing to remind ourselves is that whatever I became not because I made myself, I became because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who caused a certain set of favorable circumstances in my life, who faced me with certain challenges and then extracted me from those challenges in safety so that I learned something and I didn't perish in the challenge. Who gave me mentors, who gave me people who donated, within quotes, their life and their knowledge to my development, who invested all that in my life for no return to them, who gave me the energy, the ability, the focus to do whatever I did. And when I say I am not talking about myself, I'm saying you say this to yourself. Say this to yourself. Don't look at somebody else. You say, I, what, who are you? We're talking about the ego. So, whatever I did and so on and so forth, because of that energy, because of that focus, because of that goal orientation. And then who caused, because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused whatever name and fame that I may have in the world. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me that, the mind and the strength and the whatever to contribute and to produce whatever I produced. So where do I come into this? I'm the product of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu decided to create. He gave me the hidayah. He gave me the resources. He gave me the knowledge. He gave me the mentors, He gave me the people to mold me. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked this question. هَلَ تَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُمْ شَيَّمْ مَذْكُورًا. Allah says, has the human being forgotten that there was a time when he was not even mentioned? And that's true for every single one of us. There's no parent in the world who actually prayed for you individually, specifically to say, I want a child like this. Nobody does it. So there was a time when you were not even mentioned. And as I mentioned, even after you were born, for a period you are not mentioned. You don't have an identity. If you die, you are somebody's child. You have no identity of your own. And as soon as you die, your identity again is wiped out, vanished. You may have been the king of the world, but once you die, you are a body. Your identity is gone. Khalas. And that's the reason why Ibrahim alayhi salam, the ayat in the Quran, where Ibrahim alayhi salam says, He created me, He feeds me, when I'm hungry, He feeds me. When I become sick, He cures me. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. وَيُطْعِمُونِي وَيُسْقِينِ. He is the one who feeds me and gives me to drink. So the Anbiya alayhi salam, they teach us where to ascribe this thankfulness to. The problem with the ego is that this ego, as I told you, the two extremes, if you deny it completely, you fall into in a bad place. But if you feed it, then it takes you to a worse place, which is the level of arrogance. Then it is me and mine and so on and so on and so forth. I am this so and so, I am this so and so, I am so and so. If you talk to somebody, you ask them, who are you? Usually, people will define themselves in as the job, as the role that they are playing at that time. So, who are you? I am the president of this country. Who are you? I am the director of this institute. You get the point? Is that true? If I take the term director of the institute, who was the director of the institute before you? There was somebody. Who will be after you? Somebody else. So who is the director of the institute? Whoever happens to be in that place. Are you the director of the institute? No. I am only fulfilling the role of director of institute. Is it who I am? It's not who I am. Who am I? I am Yavar Beg, myself. And what is the definition of that Yavar Beg? As I mentioned, somebody whose parents had a bath, somebody who had no name, and somebody who will have no name. There's this wonderful teaching story of a faqir who somehow found his way into the great darbar hall of the emperor, and he put his bedding there and he lay down and went out to sleep. The guards discovered him and they woke him up and they arrested him. And they were taken, he said, they took him to the king. So the emperor said to him, what were you doing in the darbar hall? The man said, I was sleeping in the hotel. Sarai. He said, this is a sarai. This is a way house. Travelers, where travelers stop. He said, I was sleeping there. What is my crime? Why am I being arrested and harassed and so on? The king said, you are crazy. This is my palace. So the faqir asked him, who lived here before you? The king said, my father. And he said, before him? He said, my grandfather. Before him, my great-grandfather. And who will live here after you? He said, my son. And who will live after your son? He says, my son's son, my grandson. So the faqir said to him, this place, there was somebody here before you, somebody before him, somebody after you, somebody after him. People are coming and going. This is a sarai. What do you mean it's your palace? So am I mad or are you mad? My brothers and sisters, I remind myself constantly about this. That this little span of life we have, Allah has given us the control. We can choose to live it any way we like. Anyway. La ikraha fid din. There is no compulsion in religion. We are not forced to be successful. We are not forced to be failures. We are not forced to go to Jannah. We are not forced to go to Jahannam. Everything is in our control. What we do have is a time span, the duration of which we don't know. It can end at any time. What we do know is that it will end. It is not something that continues. So what do we want to do with it? The reason I am talking about this in the middle of the Tazkiyah series, when we have mentioned itaat, obedience as one element, and we are going to talk about ittiba in the next class as the other element, is because ittiba means to imitate, it means to emulate, it means to follow closely, dot for dot, dash for dash, somebody. And who is that somebody in our context? That somebody in our context is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why must we do that? Because when I have a short period of time, the most efficient thing to do is to follow somebody who has already been down that path and we know that was successful. If I want to reinvent the wheel, I can do that. But the chances of me being right are non-existent, because the one who I am being asked to follow is the one who was guided by the one who will judge what is success and what is failure. فَمَنْ زُهْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly. He said, the one who is freed from the hellfire and entered into Jannah, only that person is successful. وَمَا الْحَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah said, and the life of this world is only deception. As I explained to you, how much more graphically can I express the fact that somebody who considers himself, and not just, when I say considers himself, I am not saying the man was, or whoever it was, is lying. No. An individual who is learned is considers himself to be learned, and people consider him to be learned because he is learned. He is not telling lies. He is not a figment of his imagination. But what is the quality and importance of that learning when that learning can vanish and disappear just by an imbalance in the potassium levels in the blood? So it's okay to be learned, it's okay to spend time in that, to acquire knowledge and so on and so forth. But it's very critical to maintain perspective and say, this knowledge I got because of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah permitted me to get this knowledge, and I retain this knowledge by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take this knowledge away, it's a matter of, you know, a second or less than a second for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that. Keeping this perspective of who I am and what I am is extremely important. Because we want to make sure that the thing which we get at the end of our lives, which is success or failure before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there we are pronounced to be successful people. And who will be successful? As I mentioned to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this to us. وَمَنْ زُخْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. The one who has been freed from the hellfire and entered into Jannah, only this person is successful. And the surefire way, the absolutely certain path that leads to that success is the path that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked on. Sirat al-Mustaqim. This is what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for in every salah as part of Surah Al-Fatiha. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. O Allah, grant me guidance to the path of steadfastness. Guide me to the path of steadfastness. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. The path of those who you blessed, not those who were misguided or who incurred your anger. Who are those who were blessed? Yasin wa Quran al-Hakim, innaka lamid al-mursaleen ala sirat al-mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, oh, Yasin, one of the huruf al-muqatta'at, also one of the names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah took an oath by the Quran, wa Quran al-Hakim, by the Quran, which is full of hikmah, full of wisdom. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Truly and certainly you are one of the messengers. عَلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And you are on the path of steadfastness. When we ask Allah اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, we are asking for guidance to the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So I want to remind myself and you, let us reflect on this before we go to the next part of our series on Ittiba of Rasulullah. Let us reflect on the importance of following this, because this is our guidance to Jannah, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.